return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
Welcome to a service at Holy Life Tabernacle in Brookings, South Dakota. We are proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Now let's go into the sanctuary, and here's today's message.
Our God is an awesome God.
Jesus, oh, love to celebrate the resurrection. I thank God all the time for His grace. You know, got saved in a nightclub, changed my life, turned my life around. Hallelujah. Once was lost. Okay, thank you, Jesus, for being with him. And Kids Rock, they can head back there, ages 3 to first grade, too. If there's some of those youngsters, they can head back there as well. Yeah, thank you, Jeremy. Just good to live for Jesus. Amen. And then we're probably on Facebook Live, so we welcome anybody who's joining us in this country, but also African countries, India. We bless India in Jesus' name. And people around the world, we have many, many friends, but we just thank God for you. Now, if you're joining us, say, and this is a resurrection Sunday, an Easter Sunday as Christians, but if you're joining us and maybe you don't know Jesus, I just want you to know He loves you very much. You might even be another religion, but I want you to know He cares for you, and He's as close as the mention of His name. And if you want to know if He's real, all you need to do, you might have your phone listening on your phone right now, but just say, Jesus. And just say, Jesus, reveal yourself to me. And He will. He will. He's doing miracles today. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Luke 22. Luke 22, of course, this is the Last Supper, and we always recognize these things and so forth. But Jesus took bread, He gave thanks, and He broke it, He gave to them and said, this is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. And also He took the cup and He said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. Now, all over Christendom, people share the Lord's table and so forth. I grew up doing this as well, never knew Jesus, but doing this. People have heard this scripture maybe thousands of times. But the important thing to understand is this. Jesus brought a New Testament. And most Christians are living in the Old Testament. Reading the Old Testament, judgment of God, God's going to get you, and this and that, you know, and they're not happy. And so it's like, no. We're in a New Testament. Say New Testament. Yeah. So we're celebrating when we take the Lord's Supper. We're not doing this today, but when we do this. It says we're celebrating. Oh, now my thing went out. Well, you'll see it. You see the New Testament, all right? New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you, right? So then we go over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So Jesus demonstrated a New Testament. It was a new covenant. So the offering of His life brought forgiveness. Amen. Hallelujah. Brought healing. Amen. Brought hope. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So all these things are what He brought to us. These are really good things. I think Christians should be happy people. I think a lot of Christians, they soak up so much of the world, they're pessimistic and look like they've been baptized in pickle juice. No, I think you should be happy. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, you should be happy. Turn to another neighbor and say, lighten up a little bit. You know, no, this is a wonderful life that God's given us. It's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. Amen? So notice He made us able ministers of what? The New Testament. Amen. And the New Testament, see, is the forefront of everything that we should preach. Yeah, we can bring things from the old and teach things there, true. But the New Testament is the foundation because it brings grace. Yeah. Brings grace. You know, I have people send me, different people send me the things and all the judgments of God and this and that and so forth. It's funny, they're never very happy. I mean, I almost think they'd be they're happier to see people go to hell. Billy Graham said you should never talk about hell without tears in your eyes. If you're going to talk about the judgment of God, you should really be talking about it with tears. Because why? Because people need Jesus. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Hell was never made for people. Did you know that? The Bible says hell was made for the devil and his angels. It was never made for people. It was never intended that people would go there. It's intended through Jesus Christ, then we'd all go to heaven, amen, if we believe in Him. So He made us able ministers of the New Testament. Not just the letter, like of the law, but of the spirit that brings life. So the world religions are all harsh. They're harsh. You have to pay like a penance. You have to earn your salvation. You have to earn by your good deeds, all those things. And I've seen people do horrible things to themselves thinking that they're going to please God. You know, it's not that way. Jesus brings grace. And how are you going to get to heaven? Well, you're not going to earn it. You're not going to get there because you were good. You know, I've been saved for quite a while now and so forth and done a lot of things. And yet I'm going to get to heaven and say, thank you for your grace, Jesus. Thank you for your precious blood. Thank you for what you've done. Amen. Not because of what we've done, but because of what he's done. So we look at John 3:16 and 17. And as Christians, we emphasize verse 16. Of course, God so loved the world. He gave his one and only begotten Son. Whoever believes and trusts in him as Savior shall not perish but have eternal life. And that scripture is ingrained in many people's minds, evangelicals and so forth. But we must remember verse 17. Amen. Verse 17 is God did not send his Son into the world to judge and condemn the world. Amen. So Jesus isn't out there today like this, you know, I'm going to get you. No, Jesus is out there like this. God didn't send Jesus to judge and condemn the world, right? There'll be a final judgment, true, but God sent Jesus that the world might be saved through him. Oh, I love that. Thank you, Jesus. So this is New Testament theology, all right? It's the great exchange that if I give him my life, he gives me his life. My worthless whatever life, I give him mine, I get his. It's like, oh, wow, isn't this wonderful? Amen. It's wonderful to live for Jesus. I get life and not death, right? Amen. I get healing and not sickness. I get blessing and not cursing. I get an abundant life. It's just offered to us because why? Because of who he is. I get life and not destruction. That's just who he is. And when we come in Christ, we become his children. We become sons and daughters. How many of you are parents? Raise your hands. All right. Well, let me put it this way. How many of you have parents here that are kids, younger kids? And how do your parents treat you? We could pray for them later if you want us to. But anyway, they don't treat you bad. You know, they don't treat you bad. You're not looking at your mom and dad like they're going to always get me. If you get a birthday gift, you know it's something good. If you get a Christmas gift, you know it's something good. You're not thinking, I don't know if I want to open it. No, you always know it's good because your mom and dad will give you good things. Your heavenly Father gives you good things. Not because of who you are. It's because of who he is. Amen? He is good. And the world, and of course, sometimes Christians think, how to earn this, to deserve it. And no, you just have to receive it. Yes, it's good to be in the Bible. Amen. Got our Bible reading schedules. We want you to read the Word. We want you to know the Word in your heart, plant it in your heart and so forth. But we're still receiving by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Amen. It's just a good thing. So it's this great exchange. He didn't send Jesus to condemn or judge. Our message today to the world is Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Our message, I'm not pointing, you know, we've got to understand this is a world gospel. I've said this again and again, but the Bible is not an American book. The Bible wasn't written by white people. It wasn't written just for white people. The Bible is a Middle Eastern book. The Bible is a book of color. Hallelujah. So you can't make Jesus white. Hello. You can't make Jesus to be just like you are in your situation. But this is a Middle Eastern book. That's why it preaches all over the world. Doesn't matter where you go, what country, and we've been to many, many places, but the Bible preaches because it's alive. It's real. Jesus is alive. You know, people are having visions of Jesus Christ. What do you think they're having in the Muslim nations and so forth? People are having dreams and visions. What do you think they're seeing? That they're seeing some big white guy come, you know? I don't think so. But they are seeing the glory. They are seeing the glory of God. And God is revealing himself to people. And people are inquiring about this Jesus. Ah, thank you, Lord. So we go to Romans. Romans 3, again, the great exchange, but Romans 3:23 just says that 6:23, thank you. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, which we all were in, but the gift, say the gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when people come to Jesus, wherever that is, I actually got saved in a nightclub. Some people could get saved in an altar call, whatever. Some people just in their car or in their bedroom, wherever. And yet it's a gift. You come and you receive what he's done. It's a done deal. Think about this. His death certificate became my birth certificate. His death certificate became my birth certificate. Christ died for the ungodly. And I think, oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm alive. Amen. Of course, you have to receive it, right? Turn to your neighbor, say, you have to receive it. This isn't something you get by joining a church. This isn't something you get by becoming part of a religion. No, it's a relationship. Religion is harsh. A relationship is beautiful. So you have this relationship with Jesus that's alive. You experience it. You become proof of the resurrection, you know. People say, why are you happy? You know, everything else in the world can be going to hell. Why are you happy? Because of Jesus. It's not based on money. It's not based on all the things of the world and so forth. It's based on this relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh, man. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So we go to Romans 5, Jeremy. Romans 5, I like these verses. It just says, when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Who's that? That was us, right? That's anybody pre-Christ, right? Christ died for the ungodly. Now, sometimes people dare to die for a righteous man, a good person. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. So sometimes you place value and think, I'll help save that person or something. And you hear heroic things where in war, someone saves somebody else, or even in a crisis, somebody saves somebody else. But God did this for us, for the ungodly. He didn't come to save the really nice and pretty people, the people that were good kids. No, he came to save the bad kids, right? He came to save us. So notice in verse 8 then. Notice in verse 8, we see the verse 8 begins with this word, but. But God. Say, but God. He demonstrates his love toward us. Now, a demonstration. I love the things of the Bible are all action things. Love is an action thing. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, there are actions. So he demonstrates. He says, I'm going to show you how much I love you. And he demonstrates that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, what this really is, it's like an adoption ceremony. An adoption ceremony where you look at the people and you're not just picking maybe the child just you want. No, he's just saying, I'll take them all. Through with all their problems, with all their sins and all that, I'll take them all. I'm going to pay for all of them. So Christ died for us while we were sinners. Verse 10, when we were his enemies. To enemies. See, people think they become so good, but you know, folks, we'll never be good enough to get to heaven without the blood of Jesus. You're never good enough. You need the blood. You need his grace. Amen. You need Jesus. So he dies for us while we're his enemies and we're reconciled to him. We're brought into a relationship. We can be saved by his life. Now we have to receive it, right? The thing with a lot of adoptions, sometimes if when they're babies, they're not making a choice. But as adults, we have a choice in the adoption. Someone says, Dave, I'll adopt you into my family. And I'm thinking, oh, I don't know if I want to be in your family. Huh. God presented his love to the world through Jesus Christ. And the world balks, most of the world balks at it. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to. Because sometimes people have a wrong perception of God. They think he's mean and harsh and all that, which he isn't. But he's loving and caring and wants to bless people and bring them into his family and be a father and we'd be his children. It's amazing. Before I knew Christ, what happens? What happens before you know Christ? You're blind, right? Oh, I'm not so sure. You know, I had people witness to me. I didn't treat him so good. You know, they came to my dorm room door, and people wanted to witness to me about Jesus. And they said, I go to church. I'm trying to get them out of my room, you know, so I can shut the door. I had a dorm room door that was just inside the wing, okay, where the door came into the wing, so forth. So my door was open a lot of times, so I didn't have time to shut it before people would come by to witness. But then if people heard that people, Christians, were coming to witness, you hear doors clunk, 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 closing the door. They had more time to react. But they talked to me about Jesus, which really made me nervous. I knew about religion. I knew about my denomination, but I didn't know Jesus. You know, if it makes you nervous to think about Jesus, you want to think about that relationship. It shouldn't make you nervous. It should make you feel good. Like, oh, he's my Savior. Yeah. He's someone I love. We've been on trips or so where someone witnesses to us. We remember that trip in California. We're on the beach near San Diego and so forth. We're on the beach, and here comes a guy, and he's just plastered with tattoos and so forth. And he's witnessing about Jesus. Now, he's got racist symbols on, not like the swastika and different things like that. And I'm seeing this guy, and I'm kind of getting close to Jeannie, so we're careful. And he says, hey, I just want you to know, he had the gospel tract. We're sharing about Jesus Christ. And it didn't make sense. I saw one thing and I heard Jesus. And so we started talking. And then he said, yeah, I know I look a little different. He says, but I got saved. He said, well, I had all these tattoos that I can't get rid of. So now I got other tattoos. So he had tattoos about Jesus on the other side of him that he didn't see. So he's a walking gospel tract. He just, one, you'd think he's a Nazi, you know, stay away from this guy. And the other time, he's saved. And he says, oh, I get to share with other people. I said, I'm sure you do. I invited us to his Bible study. But you see stuff, you realize, oh, hallelujah. Amen. We're brothers. Amen. You know, we can go to other places in the nation, in the world, and we're not citizens of their country. We're not part of their culture. We don't have the same skin color. We don't have the same language. And yet we go to their houses, and because of Jesus, we're sons and daughters together, and we're welcomed in. It's like, oh, this is, and we're treated like family, given a cup of tea and so forth, and fix a meal or something, and you feel like family, even though in the natural we're not, but we feel the love of Jesus, they feel the love of Jesus, and it goes both ways, amen? This is the relationship that he's given us. He even when we're enemies, he died for us. He placed a value on us. Amen. Jesus placed a value on your life. Some people, your mom and dad, think, yeah, you're really important to me. No, to Jesus, you're really important. God sent his son for you. Think about this. You can write this down. The price he paid indicates the value you are. What price did he pay? He gave his blood. He gave his life freely, willingly, to offer himself at Calvary, at the cross for us. For us. The joy that was set before him. Endured the cross, despising the shame. Gave his life for us. Wow. I mean, now let's say, turn to your neighbor and say, you weren't very pretty, all right? Your life wasn't very pretty, and yet Jesus gave his life for you and I. I say, oh, Lord, you're really good. Really good. So that's the value that he placed on us. You are worth my life. You are worth my blood. You are worth my suffering. It makes me, in turn, want to say, Jesus, I want to give you my life. My all to follow you. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20 says, you are bought with a price. Bought, you are bought, you're purchased. Now, think about this. God so loved the world, so he paid this price for all the people in the world. And of course, most of the world isn't following him. A lot of the world's following other gods, even. And yet, he paid the price for every man, woman, and child that would ever be on this planet. For them to come into a relationship with him if they believed. He bought them. His precious blood redeemed us from the curse that came from Adam, all right, way back then. Redeemed us so that we could be in fellowship with them. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Bought with a price, purchased with the price. And what does he ask in turn? He says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What does that mean? Well, you belong to God. He purchased you. Glorify God with what you have. Our life, however long you live, it's short compared to eternity, right? So you want to glorify God in your life. Glorify God in your actions. Glorify God in your words. Glorify God in your spirit, how you live, how you treat others. Amen. That's what he wants as us as believers. That's all. He's not asking you to walk through broken glass and all kinds of other stuff to somehow prove your love. No, he's just asking you to follow him. Jesus would say again and again, just follow me. Just follow me. Do what I do. He always loved people. Amen. He always loved people. He always cared for people. He was always good to people. So 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19 says that this purchase were redeemed not with silver and gold, not with money, not with our conduct, or not by tradition from our fathers or religion, but were redeemed with the precious blood. Now, it's precious because he never sinned. He never sinned, but he took my sin. He took your sin. He took everything that we were not good. He took all that, and he says, I'll pay for them. I'll pay that debt. He didn't owe a debt, but I owed a debt that I couldn't pay. He paid a debt he didn't owe. And so it says we're redeemed with the precious blood as a lamb without blemish, without spot. He redeems you and I. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I walked into a nightclub one way. I walked out another way feeling like I felt so much peace. I felt so good. I can remember days after being saved and so forth, going to bed at night feeling so good, thinking, I wonder if this will last. And I wake up the next morning, not hungover, not all those things, thinking, hey, you're still here. Peace of God, the joy of the Lord. It's real. It's real. Jesus is real. He's alive. He's present. Present all the time. Just even talking to, you know, you got to talk with each other. But, you know, even I was talking the other day with my youngest grandson. And I said, like, do you know Jesus is here? And he said, where? And I said, well, I don't see him, but he's here because the Bible says he's with us all the time. And I said, he's in our heart. And well, he believes. Yeah, Papa, I believe that. No, I said, but he's always with you. You wake up in the night, he's always with you. And there's angels here too. And he said, where? And I said, well, I don't see him right now, but they're here because the Bible says that. There are angels all around us. Amen. So Jesus paid the price with his precious blood. Now, understand this. The price is paid, right? Amen. So go to Colossians 3 a second. Colossians 3 uses a word here. So, first of all, it says, whatever you do, do heartily as to the Lord, not to men. Serve your life. Do your job. Do everything as unto Jesus. Amen. Why do you want to show up on time? Because the boss tells you it's time? No, because you want to please the Lord. Do a good job. Be a good employee or an employer. Amen. Great. Any more amens on that? I think there should be. Okay. Be that kind of person that people think, boy, they're a good worker. Amen? Well, then they want you around. So you're doing it as unto the Lord. Now, knowing from the Lord, you'll receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Notice the reward of the inheritance. Now, inheritance is something you don't purchase. Right? Inheritance is something that is given to you when someone dies. All right. So when we die and we plan, we're planning ahead and so forth, because our families, neither family had much and so forth. So we're trying to plan so that when we die, there's going to be something that will go to our kids. Amen. Well, they're not going to have to purchase it. You know, we die and say, well, all right, what do we owe here? What do we have to pay to get this? No, they don't purchase anything. All they have to do is show up. Maybe bring a death certificate and it's theirs. It's theirs. Their name is already in the fine lines. It's already passed on to them. It's already theirs. Jesus gave us an inheritance. An inheritance isn't just forgiveness. Hallelujah for that. But this inheritance also includes the blessing of God on our lives right now. In other words, you're not eternal life begins now. Say now. You're not waiting to heaven to experience eternal life. You start to experience eternal life now. As soon as you accept Christ as your Savior, you begin to experience eternal life. Like, this is wonderful. But you realize, you know, He'll bless your hands. He blesses your marriage. He blesses your family. He blesses people around you. There's something in this life that happens also. And this inheritance, this blessing and so forth, comes because of the price is paid. Inheritance is free because somebody paid for it. Our spiritual inheritance has been paid for through Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus. Amen? This is good. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's good news. Now, this is the kind of good news you want to give to people. You know, this like on your work and so forth like that. You know, you want to always be telling them good things. You know, the world is the world, all right? But, you know, people need to see maybe a smile on your face. Can you smile at me for a second? Just smile. I know it's hard for some of you. Come on now. Yeah, smile. Show me some teeth. Okay. So what happens is, when you smile, it increases your face value. It makes you attractive to other people. It just does. So when you're out in the world and you're walking around, if you're at the store shopping, how many people do you see smiling? Not many people, right? So you can be going down the cereal aisle, good morning. They're kind of like, good morning. Like, wow, he smiled at me. You're delivering a message. We're children of the Most High God. Folks, people sometimes can say, well, you know, you're blessed. You've got this or this or this. Folks, it's not based on blessing. I've had nothing. I've faced bankruptcy. I've faced cancer. I've faced cancer treatments. I've faced all that. It has nothing to do with things. Everything about a relationship. A relationship. When our daughter went through many things, we'd go in the clinics and we'd be sharing Jesus and so forth. And the doctor just nod, and he said, Dante, well, it's the Kauffmans are here, you know, and the nurse would smile and so forth. You know, that doctor was so kind, just a wonderful man. And after our daughter started getting better and she no longer saw him, and then she got word, he was at a boat ramp out in Platte, putting in the boat to do fishing, and his heart went into arrhythmia, which now we have all the things to change that. Heart went into arrhythmia and he died in the boat dock. And it was like, what? He died? And we thought of all the times we witnessed him for years, witnessed him, passed out gospel tracts and so forth. We'd have gospel tracts and the nurse said, oh, no, you gave me that one. Which one don't you have, you know? Amen. And we go back to the clinic. We went to this place and there was nurses and people and they'd come into the room and they closed the door and just start weeping because they knew we knew this doctor. And this doctor was so loved. And they close the door and they just start weeping. And we'd be the ones consoling them, you know. I know. And I don't know his total relationship with Jesus Christ, but I know he heard. But the impact. You know, you want to plant seeds. Life is short. Turn to your neighbor and say, life is short. Everybody thinks, I'm going to live a long time. And that's our hope. However, I'm ready to go today. Yeah. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, be ready today. Got to be ready today. To respond, to be ready to go to heaven. All right, let me give you a couple quick things. We've got to close here. So write down our response to the resurrection, all right? Our response to the resurrection, all right? Thank you. Hebrews 4, verse 15 and 16. So we have a high priest who's tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. So Jesus knows right where you're at. People sometimes say, he doesn't understand. He totally understands. So we come boldly to the throne of grace. It's not a throne of judgment or harshness. It's a throne of grace. That's why, you know, people don't hear this. They think God is mean and so forth. No, he's not mean at all. Run to him. Run to him. You say, well, I've really messed up and I did that. I know. Just run to him because he's the one who knows you the most and loves you the best. All right? So you run, come boldly to the throne of grace. We obtain mercy. We find grace to help in our time of need. So first of all, our response, come to the throne of grace. Amen. Obtain mercy, find grace. We get whole. Amen. Number two is Romans chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. You want to live like his children. So we were buried with him through baptism into death. Christ was raised from the dead. Even so, we should also, notice the end of verse 4, we should also walk in newness of life. Walk like a believer. Now, your identity isn't this church. Your identity isn't a denomination. Your identity is in Jesus Christ. That's who our identity is. So we walk in this newness of life. We've been united together in the likeness of death. Certainly, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So we walk in this newness of life. It's the power of the resurrection in us that I'm changed. So we're living like his children. Amen. That would just bring so much unity to a lot of people if rather if we forget about all the other stuff and say, oh, we love each other. This is good. Remember what Jesus said in John 13. I'm going to give you a command to love one another as I've loved you. Folks, this command extends to everybody in the planet. This extends to terrorists. This extends to bad people in all ways. Hey, Jesus said, I want you to love them. Why? Because I loved you. Yeah, but I wasn't a terrorist. He said, yeah, but you were a sinner on the wrong path. You needed me. They need me. And I said, that's true. There was one, let me quick just say this. There was a member of ISIS. This came through a church in Turkey, a member of ISIS and so forth, who got so disenchanted with the violence and the evil and the things that they did to people that he left his group and he just was trying to figure out what was he going to do. And someone shared with him about Jesus Christ, and someone shared with him in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus loves sinners, you know. And the scripture comes, love your enemies, right? Love your enemies. Pray for them that persecute you. Bless them and so forth. And he thought, who is this? Who is this that would say, love your enemies? What kind of person would say that? So he went along and says, who says this? And then someone says, well, that's a scripture out of the Bible. That's about Jesus Christ. And he said, I want to know that person. And he gave his life to Jesus. Today he pastors a church in Turkey because of the love of Jesus Christ. That God would love enemies, he was taught to kill your enemies. Total different thing. Night and darkness, right? 2 Corinthians 5. We take this gospel. What should we do? Well, we take his life and we take his ministry. So if we're in Christ, we're a new creation. Hallelujah. Old things pass away. It means we change. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to change. And this never stops. We never get good enough. So we keep changing our whole life, right? And all things become new. And it says, all things are of God who's reconciled to us through Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. All right. God was in Christ, reconciled the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. What is he? He's not imputing that. He's giving grace. He's not saying, all right, I know all that you did. You're going to pay for it. No, he says, I'll give you grace. I know what you did, but I'm going to give you grace. He's committed to us the word of reconciliation. That's what we have. God is good, right? So then, we are ambassadors. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're an ambassador. Ambassador for Jesus Christ, right? As though God was pleading through us to the world to be reconciled to Jesus Christ. So this is a response, right? We take up his ministry. Not imputing sin, but giving grace. Woo! Love it. Ambassadors. Now, most of us don't feel like ambassadors. You know, we think of an ambassador of a country that, you know, they're dignified. They talk to the president or the prime minister and they get their words and they share what the president or prime minister wants them to share. But you've got to see yourself in the light of the scripture. That's why the Bible says we look into the mirror of God's word and you see who you are. Hey, when you get saved, quit thinking you're a loser. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not a loser. You're not a loser. No, now we look in the mirror and think, hey, wait a minute. With Christ in me, I'm walking with an anointing in the glory of God. I've got the power of God. I've got his image. I've got his presence. And all of a sudden, we begin to see ourselves as different than what we once were. And so now I can take this ministry and think, well, wait a minute now. I'm going to live like him. I'm going to take up his ministry. I'm just going to tell others. People say, well, who do you think you are? I'm nobody, but he's somebody. And that's who I represent as an ambassador. I'm bringing his word to you for your benefit. People say, well, I don't want that. Well, that's up to you. You can shake off the dust, go to the next person. Right? But who knows? Who knows the seed you planted? The seed is incorruptible, indestructible, ever living. The seed of the Word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away. His Word will never pass away. The seed will stand. And maybe someday, like, I need to give my life to Jesus. Ah, hallelujah. Amen. That's how God is. That's how good He is. That's how much He loves us. There was a guy I witnessed 2 years ago. His name was Bob, and he was like the town drunk. It was like the Andy Griffith Show, and he was Otis. And he was lost all his family. He lost his job. He lost everything that he had. And he would call us again and again on the phone. Back then, we had phones with cords. A lot of you don't know what that is, but it was a phone with cords. And we would talk, and he would usually be drunk. And I would just try to tell him Jesus loved him. That went on for years. And, you know, a lot of times I'd get upset in the natural, like, I'm so sick and tired of this guy, you know, calls me and he's drunk and this and that, doesn't listen to me or anything like that. And then one day, my office, before we built this building, was downtown. And one day he walks into the office and he said, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. And it's like, it's almost like, pardon me, did I hear right? You know, I tried not to act too shocked, keep my mouth closed. Oh, that's great, you know, it's great. And inside I'm thinking, hallelujah, you know. So he prayed and he gave his life to Jesus. And he received forgiveness and grace. It was just, wow, just tremendous. And he from that time, never missed a service in this place. We built this place then and never missed a service until the day of his death. And you just think, don't give up on people. Some of you are praying for people. Don't give up on people. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't give up on someone. Don't give up on your family. My family didn't follow Christ for many, many years. But eventually they did. And so don't give up on people. My dad prayed before he died. My mom prayed before she died. We're at the Lutheran church and the pastor saying, boy, this is kind of a happy funeral. I said, it's because of Jesus, you know. We were celebrating out the cemetery. My brothers had given their lives to the Lord. Don't give up. Close your eyes just for a second. Let me just say this. And some of you are listening online here. God has not given up on you. God has not given up on you. No matter what you've done, He's still there for you. He always will be. He's waiting. He wants you to just surrender to Him. Give your life to Him. Put your trust in Him. It's not complicated. It's as simple as opening your heart to Him. You know, I ran from Him before I knew Him, but then I ran to Him. My prayer was very simple. And it's as simple as saying, Jesus, I need you. Just say out loud. Say, Jesus, I need you. You can say that online wherever you are. You might be on your phone. You might be on a bus or a train. You can just say that, Jesus, I need you. Say, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me. And I ask you to change my life. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me, for dying for me, for giving your life for me. So today, Lord, I receive it. I receive your love. I receive this salvation. And I thank you. I will follow you and live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Now take a deep breath in. And then just breathe out and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray this just for a minute here. Let's pray. Put your hand up if you have people you're concerned about, just their heart for God. Put your hand up in the air a second. And let's pray and believe. Lord, I believe with these families and people, for loved ones, might be family members, co-workers or others. Father, even today, I pray you'd remind them of the witness of the person you're praying. Remind them of your word. Remind them of your love. Even today, Lord, I pray that as they hear from you, that they would turn to you, Father, in Jesus' name. We claim souls for your kingdom, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you today, Lord, for doing great works in these families and members present in their relationships, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the neat thing is the Lord hears us, right? And he we pray here, but he can go worldwide, boom, just like that, and he'll remind people in their thoughts. And, of course, for some people, it's nighttime now, and they're sleeping and stuff. But he reminds people just of his goodness. Amen. And what we prayed is really a life prayer. That was brought by Brother Greg. It's a life prayer. And it is a good prayer. It's life, bringing life, eternal life. So, Father, thank you for people here. Thank you for your love. Help us, Lord, now to walk in this newness of life. Help us to shine for you to this world, Lord. And I thank you that we are your lights. We thank you for awesome things ahead for each one of us here, people listening. Awesome things ahead in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for your blessings, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. You can share this as well online. Amen. Just hit share and send it to somebody else. Let's stand up for a second. Let's thank the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, just receive this. Just receive this for a minute. I pray the love of the Father. I pray the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I pray that the peace of Jesus Christ would be with you, remain with you, even as you leave this place today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this inspirational message. We trust that you were encouraged in your faith. For additional information or resources, please contact the church at 605-692-4616. You can email us at holylife@brookings.net or visit our website at holylifetabernacle.com. If you're in the Brookings area, please stop by to visit a service. We are located at 241 Mustang Pass, just off Main Avenue South. Our service times are Sundays at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., also Wednesday nights at 7. God bless you.